Our topic of conversation today is this weekend's Sandpoint Pride Festival. And right now with us, that third voice is Andrea Marcaccio. From Rhode Island.
I do live here.
Okay.
Yeah. Just for the record.
She's the chairperson. We expect to be joined any minute now by Sam Ryan, also the advocacy organizer. And if she's tuned in, you know, walk right in, Sam, when you get here.
I didn't lock the door.
Perfect. I didn't lock the downstairs one. So we're okay.
We're on the same page.
Okay. There's a lot to talk about Pride, but I think maybe the best place to start is just the details of where and when. So people who are tuned in and might be parking their cars know where they need to go and what time they need to get there.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me. This year, we have 2 days of events, both Friday and Saturday. Friday starts in the afternoon around 3 p.m., and all of the events on Friday will be at the Heartwood Center. So there will be air conditioning.
Hey.
Hallelujah, the heavens opened. Where is the Heartwood Center?
Oh, it's right on Oak Street, right next to the Granary District. If you haven't been there before, it's a kind of a church-shaped building. Once was a church, now is a center for queer democracy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, do they know that?
Yeah.
Who's they?
Mr. and Mrs. Heartwood.
Friday, everything happens at the Heartwood. If you arrive at 3, the doors will open. You'll be welcomed inside for the first portion of the schedule. We can go through the schedule maybe a little bit later. But
sure.
We'll be there all night. And then Saturday, there are a series of events starting as early as 9:30 a.m. But on Saturday, the typical Sandpoint Pride Festival will really commence at 3 p.m. There's a couple of events in the morning. There's a first ever family-friendly bike ride called Ride with Pride. All of those things take off from the Granary District. But this year, we always put up our what we call the fence of love and community around the property. And you can park in the city lot on the east side of Matchwood Brewing in the Granary District. There is a little bit limited space because of the fire that happened this weekend. But you can still park there. Mm-hmm. We are encouraging people to ride their bikes to the bike ride because that makes sense. And or walk down later in the day to avoid excessive parking. But you can park all throughout that neighborhood. You can park downtown and just head up to the Granary District. Entrance for this year's Pride Fest is on the northeast corner. There will be one main entrance. So right on Oak Street between Foster Crossing and Matchwood,
and
right along the bike path.
Will there be any opening on the south side?
There will be an egress exit only, but you need to walk through the main entrance, get ID.
Okay.
That is a requirement of the Sandpoint Police because we serve alcohol on the premise. Come through that way.
Okay.
You'll be directed that way if you go towards the Evans Brothers End. But Evans Brothers End will be open for business. I want to be very clear. Evans Brothers is open. The fence at that end won't go up until a little bit later in the day, so y'all can go get your cafe.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, no,
you know that.
If this town would be not only hot, but very, very grumpy.
Not happy. Not happy.
Yeah, so that will be open all morning on Saturday. If you're coming for the bike ride, we encourage you to be dressing in your best queer-friendly attire.
Talk more about the bike ride. Where is it to? Is it going to be hills or?
Have you ever heard of the full moon bike ride?
Yes.
Yes.
Where your destination is unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ooh.
We have a route.
Okay.
It may include downtown.
All age groups?
All age groups. It will be a very easy, hills.
Okay.
You don't need a mountain bike. You do need a helmet.
Ooh.
We'd like you to wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wear a helmet, Jack?
For the purpose of this broadcast, I always wear my bicycle helmet. I'm notoriously kind of lax about that. I should get better.
We are encouraging safety. We don't want anyone to get hurt. And especially in front of kiddos, it's good to set a good example. And we will be culminating said bike ride at the farmers market, in which we've partnered. There will be some dancing. Rumor has it there will be a marching band at the farmers market. Ooh.
I think Bright Moments Jazz is performing at the farmers market this Saturday.
Yeah, they have the run of the stage, but we have an additional special performance.
Ooh.
If you've heard of the Pea Jammers before,
okay,
they're out of Spokane. They are a
volunteer-led. Yes, I remember them.
Yeah.
Great fun.
Wonderful people. So they'll be present at the farmer's market.
They reminded me of a spontaneous band at the Oregon Festival, Country Fair, and where all of a sudden these people come together, and they're just, what is their name officially out of Spokane?
The Pea Jammers.
The Pea Jammers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've interviewed somebody from their organization on the air before. Mm-hmm. I think around Pride.
They're wonderful.
Pride
they come
last
all the way
year.
Up, and they're fantastic. They're kind. Their goal is to just spread joy.
Spread joy and love. And the ride gathers or starts on Saturday at
on the patio at Matchwood. So we're going to have some music out there. We're going to have some decorative materials to make your bike more festive. Esther, the tiny tap truck, will be serving a variety of options, including kombucha and other things.
Okay.
And then
we're and the time is?
When you arrive to decorate at 10:45, you'll have a half hour to enjoy said pre-party. And then the bike ride will actually take off at 11:15.
So will the entire surrounding fence be up by that time so they have to come through the north entrance?
I'm not sure. The fence company arrives at 7:30, so it depends on how fast they work.
Fast they put it up.
We will encourage. There'll be plenty of volunteers there to guide you, but you could come in the Evans Brothers end. That's definitely going to be open.
I guess that's the end I'm concerned about. You know, with people who just simply want to go to get their cup of coffee.
Oh, and don't you worry. We would never
disrupt
that. We do not
cross their paths.
Mm-hmm. Not only are we relying on that coffee, but the rest of this community.
Amen.
Is, so.
Okay.
Let's see. The bike ride is new. This year.
It is new. It's very exciting. It is an event that is sponsored and supported by Outdoor Experience. I don't know if you know this lovely downtown establishment owned by Jenny Curto.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be providing some free bike rentals that day. So if you do not have a bike or you're traveling from out of town and you want to participate, there will be bikes for you. Not tons. So first come, first serve. And then Syringa Cyclery also is sponsoring this event going off. They have been devout sponsors of Sandpoint Pride in general, but this is an event catered towards being active, doing something for your body and your brain. And we kind of skipped over this, but on Saturday morning we'll start with a presentation from ACLU and Legal Voice, which is a review of the legislative impact on the LGBTQI2S+ community. And unfortunately, that conversation is going to be kind of heavy. I think there's a lot that has happened that will feel unfortunate for our
and
friends.
And where will that be? Inside Matchwood? Inside Matchwood. Yeah. Okay, at 9:30.
With air conditioning.
Yes, sir.
Hello, the key words
Welcome, Sam.
Just been... Okay, with us, join us now is Sam Ryan, advocacy organizer. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here.
We've already complained about the hot weather, so...
I can keep that out.
No, your 2 cents worth would be okay. I mean, but people have heard, we've all just been moaning. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have the bike ride, and that goes from 11:15 on Saturday to 11:45. Half hour is reasonable.
Yeah, and that includes maybe some joyful stops.
Some photo opportunities. We're definitely going to circle City Beach. Just sprinkle the town with the celebration and the joy and the rainbows and help everybody understand that we are putting on Pride.
Okay.
So, yeah. Or Saturday.
So, the bike ride and culminates or at least stops at some point at the farmer's market.
Yep.
Which is great.
Yeah, we're ending at the farmer's market, and some of the farmers there, some of the vendors will have rainbow booths, themed booths, honoring and celebrating Pride, showing that they are a welcome and affirming organization, nonprofit. They're a nonprofit, I believe, the farmer's market.
Well, each individual vendor is there on their own accord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so I know that Sandpoint Farmer's Market is excited to host us.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We'll be welcomed by the Pea Jammers out of Spokane. A marching band that has been at Pride multiple years in a row. Mm-hmm. And we'll be putting our bikes in a really convenient location so as not to just have bikes strewn about everywhere at the farmer's market.
Yeah, I should probably confirm that we have those bike racks. These are the moments where you go, wow, we still have a lot to do.
We do, we do. As organizers, it's like, it's full throttle, and we, yeah, we push pretty hard to make this happen, but very excited. And then after the farmer's market, really encouraging the bike riders to shop, to support our vendors, to get their produce and dance. There'll be hopefully a dancing band there that day.
Yeah, it's Bright Moments, I heard.
Oh, that's fun. That's very fun. And then we will tell people to go get lunch, take a nap, get out of the sun for a bit, and then come back and join us at 3 o'clock so that they'll be ready. When the gates open, we will be welcoming them with open arms and really...
So the gates will shut then?
The fence will be going up. Okay, you're worried about the fence, I can see that.
No, coming and going, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know,
you should come and go as you please.
Okay.
No one's going to keep you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just about keeping people coming through one entrance so we
can
talk to you about the mission of the day and make sure you're there with good intentions and know our safety and community agreements.
Do you want to talk more about that?
I do. Yeah. I do want to talk about that.
I think that's important.
I don't know if, you know, I definitely know that. All over the country, homophobic attacks have been happening around Pride events, queer-friendly, queer-friendly
Hello,
events.
Coeur d'Alene.
Hello, nation.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, world, actually.
Well, when we say nation, we have a way to not think it includes North Idaho. But, boy, nothing like 2 years ago in Coeur d'Alene to remind us, oh, we are part of the nation.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I would say is Coeur d'Alene has successfully held a very, very safe Pride event since then.
I agree.
And that's important. NYPA has done an incredible job using their resources and partners in the safety and security community, and we fully support them and feel like they handled that situation fantastically despite it being devastating and disruptive, which is why we have, you know, a hug, what we call our fence is a hug of love and joy.
And we do our event on private property, which I think is a really...
It's a little bit different than Coeur d'Alene. In Coeur d'Alene, it's done in a public park.
City park.
Yeah. Changes things a little bit. And as one of the owners and hosts of the property, happy to let folks who aren't there to affirm the identities of queer individuals to find another day to come and join us.
Okay. Something wasn't said there.
I can read our safety
protocol. Yeah, read the safety protocol. I think that's important because I was going to violate it right off the bat with a T-shirt.
I find that very
hard. Yeah, we talked about an offensive T-shirt. And even if you are queer-affirming, wearing offensive things that are oppositional or disruptive, we're encouraging folks to come with a mindset of queer spirit and love and joy. And to not distract from the day.
Do you have a T-shirt this year? Last year's T-shirt was a knockout.
Yeah. This year's T-shirt designed by the same individual, Nellie.
Perfect.
From Wolf and Bell. She used to live here.
So if folks show up with a shirt that they might find funny, but others might find offensive or frightening, we have no problem asking them if they wouldn't mind changing out their shirt.
Or turn it inside out.
Or turn it inside out. We've done that in Waldorf school since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
I think... the more important thing is if you're there to question or disrupt, it's not the day.
Not the day for debating the identity of queer individuals.
Yeah. So, and that's okay because we believe that we know that we live in a diverse community where there are different opinions and mindsets. Peaceful protests on the outside of the safety hug wall are fine. We have partnered with the Sandpoint Police yet again on the event, and they will be helping.
Has that been a cooperative endeavor?
Absolutely. Yeah. We had a great safety meeting with them. They understand our parameters and our boundaries. And as private property owners, they're going to respect Idaho law, which is that we can trespass anyone. And that is a role that I play on Saturday and Friday as an owner of the property. Mm-hmm. And I wish I never had to do that. But if people
But that's a hat you have to wear.
And that's called using my privilege. I think one thing that we do ask is no matter what side of the aisle you reside in mentally or politically, is that we ask you not to engage in a negative interaction. So if you're a angsty, queer-friendly teen showing up to your first Pride and somebody is on the outside of the fence protesting us, just walk by. Come on in the event. Enjoy the music.
Yeah, come there
Watch
to celebrate.
Come celebrate.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways. It's about teaching respect and empathy, and peacekeeping.
Yeah, having the mindset, exactly, having the mindset of a peacekeeper. I think Andrea and Adrian, I believe, have crafted really beautiful community agreements, mm-hmm. and it's really important for us.
Can you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I won't read them in detail because it would be long, but we have four kind of major categories. One okay. is be respectful.
Okay.
The second is see something, say something. That's about holding community safe with our eyes and ears and making sure if we see something that's happening that makes us uncomfortable that we can report that mm-hmm. to the safety team. There will be individuals wearing safety t-shirts. They'll be very neon green, very identifiable. We also have over 25 peacekeepers who will be at each location and gate, just helping people navigate any sort of questions. No guns or weapons are allowed on the premise. And zero engagement with protesters or disruptors. Let our safety team
Were there any last year?
We did have a couple disruptors, but we asked them to leave kindly. Okay.
Not like the first year.
Well, the first year were external folks who...
There was no wall. There was no fence around.
Can we call that a love hug?
A love hug. There was no love hug. I'm not thinking of hugging in this hot weather.
Definitely not a wall. We don't have the capacity to build a wall.
You know? Okay.
It's just a premise line so that folks understand the boundary of our private property line.
And the last one, did we read? Zero engagement with protesters.
Yeah.
And I think the important piece with that is not only the folks coming in, whether they're there to celebrate or to ask questions, you know, that they're agreeing to those community agreements. If you're there because you are trying to learn more about the queer community from a place of genuine curiosity, that's welcome. If you're coming there to debate the integrity, the validity, anything along those lines like that, we will definitely ask those questions. Our peacekeepers will be asking those questions to not allow those folks in. And then also important is our vendors. So I work with all our advocacy partners and all our vendors coming in. And the same goes for them. You know, every single person that is coming in there, whether they're with, you know, a food truck, ice cream truck, that they are also agreeing to those community agreements. And that's really important to us because, you know, we know staffing is hard. We know that some of the, you know, businesses that are going to send folks, volunteers that are going to come in, it might be one of their first prides, and just understanding what it really means to show up to Pride with that, you know, celebration, understanding, and respect. And that's just so important that everybody is there with that same mentality so we can create just absolutely the best vibes possible.
We're talking to Andrea Marcaccio, the chairperson, and Sam Ryan, the advocacy organizer of Sandpoint Pride, which is coming up this weekend. The what's annual? Which
fourth,
number are
fourth
we at?
Annual. Fourth annual.
Okay.
4 years.
The fourth annual Sandpoint Pride Fest, which takes place in the Granary District, in between Matchwood Brewing and Evans Brothers Coffee, and the tallest building in Sandpoint, the Granary, I believe.
It is. It is. Should we take a music break and then regroup and come back? And on this date, as we always do, in 1969, mm-hmm. the Rolling Stones released this song in the United States. Give it a listen. That was the Rolling Stones with, when they released it as a single, it was Honky Tonk Women. But when it appeared on the Let It Be album.
Bleed.
The Let It Bleed.
Sorry. Bleed. You're thinking of the Beatles. Let It Be.
Did I say Let It Be?
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm. Let It Bleed. It was country honk.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know the reason why the shift and whatever, but a little bit of music history on this date. It was released in the U.S. of A.
Uh-huh. Country honk has different lyrics too.
Yes. The opening lyrics.
Right.
They changed. From a gin-soaked barroom queen to
sitting in a bar, tippling
in a bar,
for a jar. In Jackson, I think.
Where is that gin-soaked barroom queen when we need her?
We are here talking about Sandpoint Pride. The fourth annual Sandpoint Pride Festival is this weekend. It kicks off tomorrow, and events continue on Saturday. We're going to run down the whole schedule right about now. We're talking with Andrea Marcaccio, the chairperson, and Sam Ryan, the advocacy organizer. Yeah, we were saying during the musical break off air that we had kind of jumped around the schedule. Let's go chronologically here real quick. What happens?
Let's do it. Okay. So we're going to start on Friday afternoon, and we're going to start at the Heartwood. So we're inviting folks to start showing up at 3 o'clock. Doors will open at 3. We're going to welcome you, encourage you to put on a name tag, really drop in. Folks will be settling in, getting into the main space. If folks know the Heartwood, it was a former church. We've now reclaimed it as a community space here in Sandpoint. We're so fortunate to have that space, and it's going to, I believe, be a pretty full room. We're going to have what we're calling a safe community conversation. We're going to release what that acronym means on Friday.
And does it have air conditioning?
It does. We are perfect. Very grateful for that.
You're only invited if the AC is working, because she's been cranky about this.
Who's not going to be there?
So we have about, I think, 10 or 11 advocacy organizations that are going to be there, not necessarily from a come and we're going to tell you everything we're doing right in the world position, but so much as we're going to come and listen. What are the gaps that aren't we're not meeting here in Sandpoint? So we're going to welcome everybody, starting at about 3:30, set the tone. Adrian Morello is one of our elders in this community, and he's going to be starting with a poem, really helping folks drop in. And then we're going to set some agreements, which we love to do. Agreements around respect, around listening more than we speak, and really sharing conversation, sharing resources. We're going to encourage folks to break out into four groups. We're going to have a group on the right to safe housing. We're going to have a group on elder community care. We're going to have a group on access to healthcare, and then we're going to have a group on parent and youth support services. Everybody's asked me, why don't you have a group on mental health? Mental health is going to be in every single breakout group. You cannot address queer rights, queer needs without addressing mental health. It's pretty primal, I think, on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So those four groups will be broken out. They'll have facilitators and note takers in each of those groups. And really the encouragement in those conversations is, what are the needs as it pertains to housing, elder care, youth and parent support services, healthcare? Where are we meeting people? So really an encouragement of community members to tell each other, oh, I went to this practitioner and that was amazing. I went to this practitioner, didn't have the most affirming, safe experience. Also, I should preface with confidentiality is going to be of the utmost importance, right? Because we are sharing pretty intimate information about ourselves, about the resources that we've found or have had hard experiences with. So confidentiality is going to be really important there. And in those breakouts, you know, the really important piece that Andrea and I and the other organizers are really hoping to gain are, what are the pieces that we are not succeeding at in our community? We know that housing is an issue here for everybody. And we also know that the more that we understand that there is also a need for safe housing for queer individuals as well. Who are the realtors we can work with? Who are the property managers who are not going to force us to keep flags out of our windows? Those kinds of questions. And so then that note taker, that role is really to capture, what do we need to do? If Pride is really going to become a year-round organization, then what is the programming that we want to put in place so that we can really truly meet the needs of our community from every one of those four categories? We'll take an intermission in the middle because it will be a lot of conversing, sharing. I'm sure there will be need for tissue paper. I should probably run by Superdrug for that.
Got him.
Perfect. and then we'll come together after a brief intermission and we'll do a little bit of a report out, what each group found. You know, what are some of the key takeaways? We're not going to answer all the questions. We're not going to solve all of the topics that are going to come up. But really the idea is sharing what has worked for folks. You know, is NAMI an important partner in this? Absolutely. You know, is the Ethan Murray Fund understanding, affirming, supportive? Absolutely, right? So really sharing what resources and organizations are there. Those advocacy organizations are going to have representatives in each of those breakout groups. Again, not so much to say, these are all the things we're doing, but to say, hey, do you know that our website actually has a really extensive resource page? I didn't know that. NYPA down in Coeur d'Alene has an incredible resource page, multiple pages on every topic. So making sure people know, you know, because if I don't know, but my neighbor does, but we've never talked about it, it's important to share that. So those breakouts will happen, and then we're going to shake it out, have a happy hour or an unhappy hour. We'll kind of just suss out how people are feeling, get a drink, get some appetizers. I think those are coming in from Beet and Basil. We're so grateful for that support. Fill our tummies a little bit, and everybody is encouraged to stick around because we are going to transition into open mic night. that evening. So it'll be sign up there during that happy hour, so between 6:30 and 7:15. If you have a poem to share, if you have some spoken word to share, I'm going to be singing. I've never sung in public before. I'm doing a duet and I'm terrified. So come and just be brave. Know that it is a safe and affirming audience. If there was ever a community to open yourself up to, I feel really excited that this is the one.
What are you singing?
Sorry. I can't tell you. That's a surprise.
I was going to suggest that she's in front of a mic.
Yeah.
And then at 7:30, we're going to start that open mic night. So we'll have two amazing MCs to be coordinating that. We also have some amazing musical talent from Sandpoint. Folks you have heard on the biggest of stages here in Sandpoint that are going to be doing some really special performances kind of intermixed with the open mic night. We probably won't end by 9. My guess is it's probably going to continue, but we're going to try to encourage folks to, you know, get some rest that night, because when we start Saturday
morning, is a big day.
It's a big, big day.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Before we jump into Saturday, who do you want to see at the Friday event? Is there an age range?
That's an amazing question to ask, Jack. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, so from some, you know, What do we want to see from our organization that really will have input of what our programming could look like for the next year? We would love to see teens. We would love to see the youth show up. We would love to see parents show up, librarians, teachers, healthcare providers, mental health practitioners, realtors, radio show hosts, business owners. I don't know that there's anybody that we don't want to have show up unless you're there to debate the identity, the integrity, or have anything but respect for the LGBTQI2+ community. Those folks are going to be encouraged to find another day to debate.
Yeah.
But that day is for anybody that is LGBTQI, affirming in the community themselves, an ally, really open to have those conversations. Yeah. Anybody I missed, Andrea?
Well, I just think it's important because we have lots of amazing advocacy activists in this community who often participate in Pride and other things. We really want this to be queer voices first. So if you identify and want to speak, we want there to be space and oxygen created mainly for the community to be heard, and that others can participate after. So it's queer voices first, allies second, and our facilitators are trained to help navigate that and make sure nobody's sucking up the oxygen in the room.
And I think that's a really important piece, Andrew, that you spoke to of queer voices first. You know, I mentioned all the, you know, to me it's like the healthcare providers, absolutely, the mental health providers, absolutely. And really those folks are to listen, right? I've had so many questions of like, well, what if I get pronouns wrong, or, you know, what term do people want to use? When we listen, we learn so much, right? My therapist is like, I understand how to speak with you because of the way that you're talking to me about yourself, right? The identity and the terms that I use to express who I am, and the pronouns I use, the identity and the way that I move through the world. When we listen, we learn so much. And I think a lot of the fear maybe that comes about, even in, you know, my own family with my aunts that are, you know, in their 70s, it's not understanding, it's fear of making mistakes and fear of being maybe perceived as homophobic, even though that's really not their deep core. Their deep core is love, but I think the more that we can understand each other and understand that we have so much in common, it actually really breaks down that fear and those divisions. So I have amazing healthcare providers in this community that I've gone to. And some of them are fully understanding and use all the language that makes me feel so safe and seen. And some are just less familiar because they've worked in Sandpoint for 40 years and they haven't interacted with as many queer people. So I think when we come in with a really open heart and a listening perspective, that is what's really going to transform this community conversation.
Well said.
Thank you.
Saturday. Let's run it down.
Mm-hmm. You good?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm going to work on consent.
You're doing great.
Consent. Yeah. First time on the radio.
A newbie.
Saturday morning, we're going to encourage folks to show up at 9:30. at the Matchwood, inside Matchwood is where we're going to begin that conversation. So ACLU Idaho, we have an incredible individual coming up from Boise, Legal Voice, another amazing person coming out from, I believe they're in Seattle. I believe one of the lawyers in Seattle, one's from Boise. They're coming up to do a presentation on what happened in this latest legislative session, what bills have been passed, what do we need to be aware of, especially for folks, for parents. If there's harassment, bullying going on at school, what are their rights? What can they do? And that's really important to know. And then we'll have some lawyers in the room, in the space, to help with the Q&A. I think Pro Voice Project is going to be there that morning to help with some questions and answers as well. That's going to be a hard topic. I think that's going to be a bit of a heavy one, just to know, like, we are in probably the most restrictive state when it comes to trans rights, when it comes to LGBTQI rights, women's health care, really anything pertaining to not being a cisgendered white male. And then we're going to shake that off with a pride ride. So, you know, again, we're not going to get all our questions answered, but the more that we see faces in the room, folks are getting familiar with the ACLU representatives. They're meeting the lawyers that they can call up later if they have an issue and they need to pursue legal action. That's really the idea there, is understanding the landscape and go from there. We're going to ride our bikes. Well, first we're going to decorate them, because just riding bikes is fun. But decorating bikes and putting rainbow face paint on our faces will be fun. And letting our full freak flags fly is going to be a blast. We're going to ride around town, ride around City Beach, really encouraging families, kiddos. I'm going to have my kid on the shotgun. I know a lot of kids are going to come on their, well, she's probably going to want her own bike. And just really bulk that ride up. You know, the more that we have, we'll be mindful of traffic. So we're not getting accused of, you know, taking over the road, heaven forbid. But we'll stop on the bridge. We'll take some photos, really capturing pride in Sandpoint. And then we'll end at the farmer's market, where we'll be welcomed by the PJammers, an amazing marching band out of Spokane, all about peace and justice. And the farmers market has really welcomed us with open arms to come there to end our ride there. We'll dance it out and then encourage everybody to go home, take a nap, have lunch, get some shade. And then we will open up Sandpoint Pride at 3 p.m. at the Greenery. And that is when music is going to begin. That is when we've got our advocacy booths are going to be there. We're going to have tie-dye, face painting. Have you ever done fairy hair, Jack? Have you ever put fairy hair in your hair?
You would be good with fairy hair.
I think it would look really nice. Actually, in your beard as well. I think this might be a really nice...
I do not even know what that is, fairy hair.
So I think you should probably...
Tensely sparkly.
I bet James would like it as well.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Bounce houses, misters. I believe we acquired all of the misters in all of North Idaho to keep y'all cool.
Them, yeah.
Yes. Well, this is a new one. We have two tents with shade and misters and seating this year, a 20 by 40 tent and a 20 by 20 tent, because we know the heat was an issue last year. So we have increased seating and shade structures.
Shade.
We want people to be able to come and enjoy. And if you want to sit and listen to music, you can. If you want to stand and listen to music, you can. Really, the theme of Saturday is really to celebrate. Yeah. I'd say Friday is to communicate, to probably process some heavy things, to share some stories of what has worked and what hasn't. But Saturday is really to celebrate. And let's just get as many folks there as possible, because it is going to be, I think we had over 1,600 last year. I think we're going to have about 2,000, 2,500, if not more this year.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty big celebration here in Sandpoint. Knights of Neon is going to start us off at 4 o'clock. They're a funk band. I think they're based here in Sandpoint.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're fantastic. If you've seen them, they'll be 4 to 6. We've got a best of. If y'all haven't been to the best of before, it's so fun. So come in your costumes. Come with all of whatever makes you feel fabulous, is how I would define that. And we do, you know, best of for the kiddos, best of pride for the adults. We'll have a couple different categories, and winners will be celebrated and honored.
Yeah, and folks always ask, where do I sign up for that? You'll be signing up for that at the Sandpoint Pride booth, which will be right by the stage.
Right before that. So that's at 6 o'clock, 6 to 6:30, the best of. And then kind of the highlight, I don't know, it's all a freaking highlight. The Queen Bee Collective is going to be starting here at 6:30 for a drag show that is, Andrew, how would we describe this for folks that are like, huh? I don't know.
Imagine the best day of your life happening.
Do you like dance? Do you like costumes? Do you like theater? Do you like lip syncing?
Okay, so Queen Bee Collective is like almost 15 years old. They are a locally owned, locally led collective of drag queens, many of which who are born and raised in Bonner and Boundary County, who are performing in their most fabulous decor. They are lip syncing to some really great songs. They dance. They make their living performing just like musicians.
Yeah.
And so tips are encouraged. Ones, fives, 20s, 100s, whatever you got.
And that's always a question we get to, both the tips. You know, you wouldn't stiff out your waitress. You wouldn't, you know, not tip your massage therapist. You know, you wouldn't not tip a service provider. So I like to explain that to people, right, is like, you wouldn't not tip. So we really encourage that. That is how they make their living. I'm encouraging them to have Venmo QR codes because people don't carry cash anymore, Andrea.
They do at drag shows. And I will say that Matchwood Brewing is aware that
we're going to be making change. Rare.
I will have a lot of ones available.
Yep.
So if you have a 20 and you want to have ones, you can come up to the Pride booth. Will make change for you.
The other question I get asked a lot, Andrea, is it family friendly? Both kind of the whole evening, open mic night, the whole thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Come celebrate. Come enjoy. Come watch the dance performance. Gosh, I just watched an incredible play at Little Women, and I was just so blown away. Like, live performance is so powerful to watch people in their element and in their bravery. And yeah, absolutely. I think our kids need to just see people being proud of who they are, yeah, our adults.
I think it's the largest and only outdoor drag show in North Idaho.
Well, to get you ready for the drag show tonight at the Panada, Priscilla, Queen of Desert, is going to be there, a famous drag movie, and at 7 o'clock. So.
Oh, that is a great lead-in. Yeah. I'm going to go to that tonight. And then after the drag show, that'll wrap up at about 8, and we've got this band out of San Francisco that is rock, that is funk, that is fun. The lead singer is a drummer. I mean, does that ever happen? You two are musicians. Is that a common thing? It's hard to play
Levon
drums.
Levon Helm from the band.
Phil Collins, too.
Oh. Phil Collins from Genesis.
Yeah.
So she's basically modern day Phil Collins, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think
she's got a little more pep.
She's got pep. Yeah, but
her name is Liliana.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. And her and her bandmates have played Sandpoint before. They've played at iCards. They played our Toast to Pride event this spring.
Biggest fundraiser for Pride we've ever put on.
Yeah, so you do not want to miss Thrown Out Bones. And Thrown Out Bones also has a history of inviting drag queens onto the stage. Mm. So there may be some secret performances that we are teasing out here. And then why don't we talk about the new element, the late night element of Sandpoint Pride.
That's a great question, or a great idea. Mm-hmm. So last year, some of the feedback we got, we love to collect feedback from the community. What worked, what didn't? And one of the requests was, you know, we wanted to just stay. We wanted to just keep connecting and communicating and maybe, you know, connecting on a deeper level for folks. So we instituted, Andrea's incredible brewery, Matchwood, is going to stay open from, oh gosh, is it really from 10 to 12:45. Oh, yeah. We're going to be so tired. We're going to do a late night dance party. We've got Coral, a phenomenal DJ here. I don't know if she's local or if they're local.
She is local.
She's local.
She lives out on the lake.
Oh, she does. Oh, wow, yeah. We are so lucky. We have so much talent in this town.
A world renowned.
Yeah.
And I, a producer of music, makes her own set list. But at this particular event, she's going to do house and techno. So a little bit outside of her kind of genre that she normally does internationally. And that is going to be really fun.
And then it'll transition into the silent disco. So we'll probably start getting some, you know, hey, the noise. Mm-hmm. We'll go into the headsets. So if you haven't done a silent disco before, you wear those headsets. You've got a couple different playlists to choose from. And we just get to jam. And it is hilarious to participate in. It is hilarious to watch without your headphones on. If you want to actually just stop and have a conversation with a friend, you just pull that headphone off, watch people dance and like in their glory. And you can still talk because the music is only in the headsets, which is a really nice element. Also, no one knows if you're on the beat or not. No one knows if your moves are working because they don't know what you're listening to. So if you're even a little bit self-conscious, my former partner absolutely did not love dancing, and silent disco actually worked. They were totally jamming to music in their headsets because it just felt like a safety bubble. So then go home, go to sleep, soak it up, and remember that Pride is not just one weekend out of the year.
Yeah, and there is one remaining thing on Sunday that we should talk about.
Oh, God. I thought we got to sleep on Sunday, Andrea.
You do, until 9 a.m. When when Operation Rainbow takes place. Okay, Operation Rainbow, I do have to give credit to Katie from Heart Bowls, came up with this concept, which was encourage Pride to purchase 250 rainbow all-inclusive flags. We have little cards that explain the action, and the idea is that at 9 a.m., the next morning after you've soaked up all the love and joy and you think to yourself, what can I do, what can I continue on with, is to hang your Pride flag in your window at your business or your home in concert with 250 other individuals. So overnight, Operation Rainbow, Sandpoint will just become a more colorful place. It will not only express our current support and all the people who live here who are queer-friendly, and supportive and allies, but it will also encourage folks to feel safe to do the same if they've been questioning that moment. So we have those flags ready.
250 is just not enough, but we're going to, it's the best we could do this time. And if we get 250 flags up in this town, it's going to be powerful.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter where you live. You can put them up. If you live up on the top of a mountain and your UPS driver sees that flag, that's a big deal. I think for us, that is our first kind of like direct action that we're planning. And what we heard last year was like, God, I leave Pride and I just want to do something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so this continue is our way on to hear that feedback. Also think about in tourist season, overnight when you show up to Sandpoint, you're like, oh, this is what this town reflects. So we are pretty lucky. The only reason any of this is possible is because we have raised a significant amount of resources this year. The most we've ever raised. We have the longest list of funders and donations. It took a lot of work. And I would be remiss not to mention our largest donors. Emily French, an individual who resides here, was at Pride last year, saw the power of the event, and became our most significant donor this year.
Thank you so much, Emily, if you're listening.
So grateful. Ting has been a major sponsor for multiple years. Matchwood Brewing, this is a major event for us, and we are really happy to be the hosts. Applegate Healthcare, Tabitha Barron, the best Tabitha I've ever known. the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, Bluebird Bakery. If you saw those Pride cookies, all the money from those Pride cookies.
I've been buying them and eating them.
You got to give Jill some credit. Not only does she give the money from the cookies, she has to make those cookies.
Yeah, she does. So, it's the busiest summer every season. She's absolutely insane.
And then Planned Parenthood of Greater Washington and Northern Idaho came in as a significant donor this year. There are about 25 other donors that I'm not going to read off because it's a long list, but you can go to our website.
We're going to make a song about it and sing it on Saturday.
Oh, that sounds great. I mean, you just can't. If you look at this list, this is where you should spend your money.
Yes.
This is where you should spend your time. These are safe spaces. These are safe individuals and families.
That are working to make Sandpoint more empathetic, more respectful.
So thank you to our sponsors.
Woo!
Well, one just brief thing about sponsors, and I do that with underwriters here. When I charge something, I write on the slip, thank you for supporting KRFY. Mm. You know, remind people to thank you for supporting the Pride Festival, you know, and let the businesses know,
yeah,
you know, that there is a transaction going there.
I think that that's a really important piece. You know, we've heard from some of the businesses, you know, the business owners want to hang their progress flags in the windows, mm-hmm. but it's their employees that are going to get the pushback on the day-to-day if a customer comes in and has a response, a negative response. So it's so important that if you go in and that flag makes you feel seen and safe, or that flag makes you know that your kid is safe to come visit you over the holidays, please, please, please tell the employees.
Let them know.
Let them know. It matters that we are seen and we are welcome here, that your kid, that your grandkid, that your neighbor, it is so important. So please pass that feedback along in addition to spending your money at these businesses. You know, we've had people say, I look on the Pride website before I decide where I'm going to go shop. And I'm so grateful to hear that feedback.
We are talking about Sandpoint Pride this weekend, Friday and Saturday. We're talking with Andrea Marcaccio, the chairperson, Sam Ryan, the advocacy organizer. I see waiting in the wings, representative of the Panada Theater, who wants to come in and talk about what else is going on this weekend. And there are believe it or not, other things going on in town.
No, don't
say it. No, cancel them.
Before we bring Rob in, I guess, kind of in summation, is there anything you want to say?
Is there a website that you can go to get the whole lineup and everything and run it off yourself?
It's one of the best websites I've ever seen. I don't know if you know, we have a local web designer who also owns a brewery and runs a year-round Pride organization. Her name is Andrew Marcaccio.
Oh, my goodness.
Really incredible web designer. Yeah, not for hire.
Definitely not overcommitted, but loving every minute of it. Yeah, I think it's important to know that sandpointpride.com is where you can find all of the information we talked about with details, locations, times. There's a schedule link. You can still be a sponsor if you want to give, if you felt compelled today. And it reviews safety information, everything that you might need. And then our Instagram handle, at Sandpoint Pride Fest.
Oh, that's too techie for me.
For many of the youth, if you will, Instagram. We'll get on TikTok someday, but I'm turning 40 this summer, so we're going to hand that over to the next organizer. We are doing a bit more Instagram videos so that we can reach people. So follow us on Instagram, Sandpoint Pride Fest. And then I just, in closing, would love to say why we do this.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah, it's fun. That's really important. But as you know, Sandpoint Pride is an act of democracy. It's an act of advocacy. It's a protest. The history of Pride is to really affirm and recognize the dignity of LGBTQI2S community members. And so our mission statement is to affirm the dignity and equality of the community, to welcome and celebrate their contributions to society, and support the ongoing movement to secure their rights, freedom, and safety. And so even if you're on your bike or just centering that there's a lot of work to do, there's a lot of opposition, and it's intense. We'll talk about that in some of our sessions. But this weekend is meant to really elevate the community, give everybody a safe space to spend time together. And we're so excited.
I'm wondering, listening to Andrea, is it possible that we could have both of you back on, let's say, in August, where you have a chance to look back upon and do a report back on us, on the event, the weekend, what you learned, what the future looks like? I'd really appreciate that. What do you think, Jack?
I think that's wise.
What's our August schedule looking like? Do we still have some slots open?
I'm sure we do.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we do, and I think that's a very good idea. It does feel like we've barely kind of scratched the surface.
Yeah, there's so much. Mm-hmm.
And as we become a year-round organization, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Well, you're always welcome to the mics here at 88.5 KRFY. Thanks, the two of you, for all of your energy, your goodness, and we're going to transition out. Maybe we'll have Rob come on after Bird Note, maybe? What do you think? Okay, this is a song by The Who that was released on this date in 1970, and it's sort of appropriate. It's a remake of Eddie Cochran's Summertime Blues, and this is done by The Who.